Good morning. It's September 4th. The commission is meeting today in the Capitol Building, 12th floor of our official hearing room. And with me today are Commissioners Kramer and Clark. And are there any opening comments by my fellow commissioners?
Good morning and welcome.
Welcome. I move passage of items in the consent agenda.
Second.
I would just comment as well. In the consent agenda today, I don't have it on regular, and I don't have any portfolio items today, so I'll make the announcement now. We actually have the first payouts of the credit sale contract indemnity fund today. Those are on the consent agenda. I don't know if they in here, or are they admin consent?
They're in the approval of bills.
Yeah.
Okay, so they'll be on the admin consent.
No, they're in our
right?
consent
are in
agenda
here.
Right here.
Okay,
approval
perfect.
Of bills.
And they're in the approval of bills. We have four claimants who will be getting paid out of that. I don't have the figures right in front of me, but we can get those to you later if you have an interest in them. But that is in consent. That's the first payout of the credit sale contract fund. Then that is stemming from the RAIM, Minnesota Grain insolvency. Part of that case is still pending because there are some folks who have contested the non-credit sale contract portion of the fund. That is going to be taken care of at a later date, but there was no contest to the credit sale contract fund, and so that was allowed to be paid out by the judge immediately.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
On the regular agenda, SW1, the Otter Tail Corporation Advanced Determination of Prudence Application and Montana Dakota Utilities Company Division of MDU Advanced Determination of Prudence Application, the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order, is being held over. I want to just comment on this briefly. The commission's been working very hard in the last several weeks on this order, and we thought we had it all ready to go this morning. However, filings came in from Otter Tail on Friday evening with some information regarding a settlement that's been reached in Minnesota on aspects of the case that's before the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission. Following that, this morning at around 9 o'clock, Mr. Breen, who is an attorney for the interveners, Mark Treshock and the Dakota Resource Council, they've submitted an original and seven copies of a motion for order under North Dakota Century Code 283225. That was dated September 3rd of 2007. The commission received that just this morning. So the commission needs time at this point to read through these two filings. Any filings that come in are important that the commission have a chance to review thoroughly before it issues its final order so that we don't miss anything. And so we will be scheduling a work session to go over those two filings. And probably within the next week, we will try to schedule that work session so that we can determine whether we're what we're planning to do at that point.
It's also important to look these over. As I understand it, part of the filing that was submitted by the applicants, Otter Tail and MDU, relates to a settlement that was reached in Minnesota between the Department of Commerce and the applicants there related to not the plant itself, but the transmission line. There were some, however these things tend to get intertwined in Minnesota, so apparently there are some things that they settled to, which would include some upgrades to the plant, some generation sources perhaps in Minnesota, and we need to look all of those things over carefully before we vote on the order.
And clearly the motion from the interveners is important because, of course, they will not have had opportunity to view or cross-reference that initial filing if necessary. So there's work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we'll keep you posted about the status of that order. It is a very important one to the people of this region. We realize that. We had it all ready to go, but we are waiting. All right, SW2, Capital Electric Cooperative, Inc. versus Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Promontory Point 3 complaint. I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in case number PU06278, Capital Electric Cooperative, Inc. versus Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Promontory Point 3.
Second.
Well, this is the first of two motions this morning for setting hearings in two cases. On June 30th of 2006, we know we're now in 2007, Capital Electric Cooperative filed a complaint alleging that Montana Dakota Utilities intends to provide electric service to the Promontory Point 3 subdivision within the city of Bismarck, and that such service would threaten to interfere with the existing services provided by Capital within the city of Bismarck and unreasonably duplicates available services provided by Capital within the city of Bismarck. And then there were various motions that were filed after that in 2006, and in October 12, 2006, the commission granted the motion for a continuance. Now, at today's meeting, we're scheduling a public hearing. It will be held November 19th, 2007, beginning at 9 a.m. in the commission hearing room, State Capitol, 12th floor, Bismarck. And the issues to be considered in this matter include whether the Public Service Commission has jurisdiction to award the relief requested by the complainant, whether the respondent should be restrained and enjoined from constructing or extending its lines, plant, or system in Promontory Point 3, and whether the respondent should remove all its facilities in Promontory Point 3. This is the next step in this particular case. We felt at this point that it is important to allow an opportunity for a hearing to be held and have scheduled one. And then the commission will receive, I'm sure, a lot of information on the record at that time in order to make a decision on this.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 SW3, I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in case number PU07425, Capital Electric Cooperative, Inc. versus Montana Dakota Utilities Company, Sonnet Heights.
Second.
All right. This is the second notice of hearing today. On July 5th of 2007, Capital Electric Cooperative filed a complaint alleging that Montana Dakota Utilities intends to provide electric service to a development and complainant service area, and two, such service will unreasonably interfere or is about to unreasonably interfere with the service or system of the complainant. And on August 9th of 2007, MDU filed its answer and requested the commission issue an order dismissing the complaint of Capital or staying further proceedings pending action by the Bismarck Board of City Commissioners on the regulation of electric service within Sonnet Heights First Replat subdivision by Montana Dakota and Capital under their respective franchises. A public hearing on this matter will be held November 20th of 2007, beginning at 9 a.m. in the Commission Hearing Room, State Capitol, 12th floor. The same issues are going to be considered in this case as were being considered in the previous case. For those of you who are not familiar with where Sonnet Heights is, Sonnet Heights is on Highway 83 North, up north of the Walmart, on the other side of Highway 83, on the west side of Highway 83, and I have a map. It is directly south of 1804 and adjacent to Highway 83 North. So I have a map later if you would like to see exactly where that's located.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. SW4. I move the commission issue a notice of hearing in case number PU07503, Spirit Ethanol-Spiritwood, North Dakota, Public Convenience and Necessity.
Second.
This is another PC&N case, not located within the city of Bismarck, but this one is located in the area of Spiritwood, North Dakota. You're familiar with the Spiritwood Energy Park that is being planned in that area. It has to do with the Laddish Malting Plant. It has to do with a 100-megawatt energy generation facility that's going to be run by Great River Energy. And it also has an ethanol plant as part of that energy park. That's the ethanol park that we're discussing here today. On July 18, 2007, Otter Tail Power Corporation, an electric public utility, filed an application under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 4903 to extend service to Spirit Ethanol at a location 1/2 mile from Spiritwood, North Dakota. Otter Tail's request for a temporary authority was authorized on July 3rd of 2007. Let's see what happened next. Then on July 16th, they filed their application to extend permanent electric service. On July 19th, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, which provided the matter would be set for hearing if written objection was received by August 9th, 2007. On August 16th, Northern Plains Electric Cooperative filed a late protest requesting that Otter Tail's application be set for hearing. The commission discussed that that was filed late. We determined that we would still move ahead with this matter. A public hearing on this matter will be held October 4th, 2007, beginning at 9 a.m. in the commission hearing room, State Capitol. The issues in this case include, they're a little different than the other one. From whom does the customer prefer electric service? To what electric suppliers are operating in the general area? 3, what electric supply lines exist within a 2-mile radius of the location to be served and when were they constructed? 4, what customers are served by electric suppliers within at least a 2-mile radius of the location to be served? 5, what are the differences, if any, between the electric suppliers available to serve the area? And which of the available electric suppliers will be able to serve the location in a question more economically and still earn an adequate return on investment? There's several more, 7, 8, 9, and 10, which are also the commission has used in these type of cases before. And so everything seems to be in order, and I recommend approval.
I will be voting no on this, and it is for the reason that there was a late protest filed. In the commission's notice that we put out, we set as a deadline August 9th. We did not receive until August 16th the protest from Northern Plains, and barring any sort of extenuating circumstance or any rationale for having a protest filed that late, I see no reason to bend the rules. There are deadlines in state government, as we all know about, and federal government. You file your taxes a day late, you get a penalty, you miss by a couple of minutes the filing deadline for a candidacy or a initiated measure, and it doesn't get on the ballot. And I just don't see any reason to bend the rules in this case either. I mean, these are utility companies who've certainly done this before. They're represented by legal counsel, and they know the rules. They're big folks, and when you miss a deadline, there's a consequence to it. And so I will be voting no, but we'll be attending the hearing and look forward to hearing whatever information they present to us at that time.
Yes.
Commissioner Clark?
No.
Commissioner Riefel?
Yes. Moving to SW5, these are two items that are on just for announcement purposes. The commission will not be voting on them. It is about the fuel cost adjustments for Otter Tail and for MDU for the month of September of 2007. As a result of the change this month, the electric bill for an Otter Tail residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will decrease by $4.43 for bills rendered in the month of September. The cost of fuel this month for Otter Tail customers is 2.70 cents per kilowatt hour. And for Montana Dakota Resource, Montana Dakota Utilities customers, the fuel cost adjustment for September now is 1.105 cents per kilowatt hour. It's going to be 2.408 cents per kilowatt hour, as shown. And as a result of this change, the electric bill for a typical MDU residential customer consuming 750 kilowatt hours per month will increase by $2.28 for bills rendered in the month of September. All right, moving to, that is all the items in my portfolio. I'm moving to Commissioner Kramer.
Thank you. I just have one, KC1. I move the commission approve revision number 23 to surface coal mining permit number NAFK8405 held by the Falkirk Mining Company to add 5,022.9 acres to this permit, incorporate baseline information for the added area, and revise operations and reclamation plans for mining in this area.
Second.
This is the, every time I read one of these, I think, didn't we do this a long time ago? And it's not that we did it a long time ago. It's just we've been living with it for a long time. This extra 5,023 of these 5,023 new acres to be permitted, added to the permit, are the acres northeast of Underwood and actually north of Highway 200 and east of Highway 83. So it's a very large permit area. It's being added to the existing permit, which is south of Highway 200, east of Highway 83, which is roughly, I think, some over 3,000 acres. there. So it's basically a new mine, although in an existing permit. It's largely cropland. There's some tame and native grasslands, farmsteads. There are actually 9 farmsteads in this permit area, and then some roads and fish and wildlife habitat. The work will begin. Some ponds will be constructed yet this fall, with overburden removal beginning probably next year. It's kind of a unique situation, or one of those situations that occurs when you leave one pit and kind of start a new pit. So there are some revisions as well to the contemporaneous mining standards from the 180-day rough regrading and all of that, because, of course, they have to close one pit south of Highway 200, do a new box cut and benching, creating the bench for the dragline north of 200, and take a little extra time to move some of that dirt around to fulfill all of those requirements. So everything seems to be in order. All the notices have been appropriate. We have heard nothing from anybody. No protests to the permit through the notice procedures. So everything seems to be in order. And I would encourage approval.
This is a very major addition to the mine at Falkirk. 5,000 acres is still a big new permit. And we've been watching the development of this area. For example, a year or so ago, the commission approved a 500-acre permit addition so that the company would be able to build access to this area across Highway 200, and that's in the process of happening right now. But this is the reason that access was being constructed, was for this new 5,000 acres. As you know, on the east side of Highway 83 now, for quite a number of years, there has been no mining activity. All of the coal mining has been done on the west side of Highway 83. But now they've completed mining a whole series of pits on the east side on the west side of Highway 83, and so they're going to be moving one of their main drag lines again back over to the east side of Highway 83. And this particular permit will allow them to mine for 10 or 15 or more years in this area. There are a number of variances that the commission is approving in this. These are not anything that are not out of the ordinary, that have not been approved for other parts of the permit. In some cases, we're allowing them more time in order to remove, to take care of spoil piles and to do some reclamation work due to the way up the manner of their mining with the box cuts, etc. To me, it looks like very good work has been done on this permit application, and I agree with Commissioner Kramer that everything looks in good order.
All in
favor? Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio.
That ends the items in the regular agenda today, and we're willing to take any questions that anyone may have about these items.
Where is the addition in relationship to the main mine presently?
Well, it's the main right now, where the active mine is west of Highway 83. This is east of Highway 83. If you drive to Minot, best way to describe it, you can actually see the drag line pretty clearly on the west side. There has been some truck and shovel operation going on east of Highway 83, but the big work will begin here fairly soon over on the east.
There's a large conveyor belt that
right.
used to connect the west and east mines.
It will,
I know that they've determined whether they're going to fire
this
that
is north of Highway 200.
There's a map,
previous
actually.
Mining activity has been south of Highway 200, both on the east and west sections of the mine. Now we're going north of Highway 200 on the west east side of Highway 83.
Is there something going to be done with that
conveyor?
Conveyor belt?
They've talked about using it again when they get to the east side and have significant significant coal reserves. They'll need it again.
Have they made the decision to use that again?
Could you tell me again when the hearing is on Sonnet?
November 20th.
What?
I think Promontory Point's the 19th and Sonnet's
the 20th. Heights is the 20th?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
What time?
All right. The Sonnet Heights is is going to be at 9 a.m.
And can you tell me where is, first of all, is it, is the way Commissioner Weefald pronouncing promontory correct?
No.
Okay, thank you. Where?
How do you pronounce it then?
Promontory.
Oh, thank you.
It's after the
Lewis and
the great joining of the transcontinental.
Good. I'm always happy to learn something.
Century. The where is Promontory Point 3?
That is located in the west side of Bismarck. It is north of
Promontory 2.
Yes. And Promontory 1. All right.
Utah.
Yeah, right.
Probably look out our window and describe this better for you, but if you go down, is it Burnt Boat Creek Road? Mm-hmm. And then there's a road that goes to the north, and you go up to very high plateaus, and there's some large homes and big trees that have been planted up there. And so
I can see
as
it
you
from
go,
my house.
And then this is the however you say this.
Just think four syllables instead of five.
Okay, all right. I'm not even going to try at this point. One is already has development on it, and two is to the north of that, and three is to the north of that.
So and it's within the city, that property.
It's the MDU says it is within city limits.
So what is the difference between this and the Boulder Ridge situation? What are the issues?
We expect facts.
I'm anticipating that at this point we don't know whether the city has made any determination between the two of which of who serves that area. They have given both franchises. You know, they have franchises for both MDU and Capital Electric. One of the issues, at least in the Sonnet Heights, is they did ask us if we would wait until the city had made a determination of who should serve that area. The commission is moving ahead with its hearing at this time.
The statute is the same. I mean, it's the same type of procedure, but the facts may or may not be different. I guess we'll learn that as we go along.
Well,
and I understand that there is some effort at the city commission to perhaps draft an ordinance that might be sustained legal challenge. I mean, a lot of that's to be determined elsewhere.
Well, and also remember, Boulder Ridge was, there were no facts. MDU didn't present facts. They rather tried to get an effort to dismiss the case based on other legal matters. So I would anticipate at this point that going forward it'll be more of a traditional TIA case with the facts to determine who should serve.
Could you just talk about what issues you're going to be considering at these hearings?
The usual 10.
I went over them, let's see, in the meeting. There's three main issues that we're going to be considering, if I can find my papers here for that case. Tony, do you have yours? Just those three.
It's right here.
Thank you. Whether the Public Service Commission has jurisdiction to award the relief requested by the complainant. Whether the respondent should be restrained and enjoined from constructing or extending its lines, plant, or system in Sonnet Heights. And three, whether the respondent should remove all of its facilities in Sonnet Heights. So you see, those are three. Those issues are different than the ones that I announced we would be looking at for the Spiritwood ethanol plant.
Excuse me, I was referring to the Promontory Point 3.
Those are exactly the same issues.
All right. And are there any homes in either of these locations, and if or anything that's being served by anyone?
I don't know.
I apologize for being a little confused about this Spiritwood ethanol thing. This is not like Great River Energy's project up at Underwood, that they're not using power from the plant or are they?
No, that's a good point. They are not using the power from the plant, but rather would use power from a provider locally, in this case, Otter Tail or Northern Plains.
Well, this is what was, I guess it was baffling to me, too. They're producing 100 megawatts of electricity, but At the same time, we're spending our time figuring out which utility gets to support.
Well, I would say that that was probably some things that this probably the city of, you know, Jamestown or whoever was doing the siting or whatever took a look at. But at this point, only this particular piece of this project has come before the commission.
I'm not certain, though, Dave, either that the ethanol plant up at Underwood isn't being served by the local cooperative. I think it is. I think that was a Great River.
It's a waste heat.
Yeah, it is.
It is, but in terms of the electric load, that is also being served by McLean Electric as opposed to taking power off of the plant. I think some of that has to do with good neighborliness.
The issue of the late filing, could you explain? I mean, Commissioner Clark explained why he voted no. Could you all explain why you voted yes?
Yes, I felt that this is an important issue for the commission to take a look at, and there was 1 week that they missed the deadline by. They asked the commission whether we would consider still moving ahead with the case, and I felt that, yes, deadlines are important, but in this case I would excuse that and move ahead with the hearing. And that was on the advice of our legal counsel, Bill Binnick.
Right. My reasoning was basically the same. I just felt like, given that it was within a week of the deadline, and the fact that it certainly couldn't hurt, in my view, to review the facts if there is in fact a dispute, as opposed to simply dismiss the facts over the technicality of missing the deadline, it just seemed that the facts weighed more heavily, the importance of reviewing the dispute.
Do we have any idea how long the mining company is going to be mining these 5,000 acres and how much coal they expect to produce? Mm-hmm.
Right now they show the pits and some of the plants extending until 2017, but their extended mine plan shows that they'll be in there much longer, probably for possibly another 15 years beyond that.
Yeah. It would take up every 5 years, I guess, we generally extend. They require or ask for extensions every 5 years for a five-year extension.
Have they said when they're going to move the drag line?
That probably is 2 to 3 years off yet.
The first thing that has to be done to create the opportunity for the drag line even is the removal of overburden to a level that allows for maximization of the drag line's potential. In this case, some of the coal is 150 feet under the ground. Dragline operates at maximum kind of operation at about 90 feet, with a bench of about 90 feet. So the first thing they'll have to do is create a bench for the dragline to sit on and begin the process of real big dirt removal.
when you said earlier a bench, you're referring to like a base of...
That's right. That's exactly right.
And yeah. What did you mean when you said box cut?
Box cut is like where you begin, for lack of a better term. There has to be the first hole, which the overburden, which is has nowhere to go. You know, once you get going, of course, you take dirt out, you put it in the previous pit area, and I'm oversimplifying it. But the box cut is that first cut of dirt that creates that hole.
I mean, I personally think that where you begin is a fine term. You don't need anything better than
that. Yeah, isn't that a fact? Not in our industry. In our business, you got to have a complicated term for everything.
And when you say overburden, you mean dirt.
Right.
Well, that is the dirt underneath. There's topsoil, there's subsoil, then there's overburden. And there's a difference.
We have hot cuts in telecom. That's something totally
there's
different.
There's actually a box cut is different from a long mining pit, which sometimes is just constructed where it's a straight line. A box cut shows that it goes in two different directions at the same time.
Could you go into a bit more detail about what it was in Minnesota that caused you to postpone the...
Yes.
I was here with bells on with this.
Yeah. I know. Quite frankly,
thank you for all not leaving.
Right. The commission worked really hard, very, very hard to have this order ready to go this morning. However, on Friday, after 6 o'clock in the evening, the commission received information from Otter Tail and from Todd Guerrero. And we'll certainly make that available to the press if you wish to take a look at that, what we received from them. I'll just read briefly what it says. On August 28th, the commission advise the parties in the above manner of its intention to take official notice of the administrative law judges. August 15th, findings of fact and conclusions of law in the Minnesota Public Utility Commission combined docket. As Commissioner Clark said, they have been considering in that state siting of a transmission line that would connect Big Stone 2, proposed Big Stone 2 addition, with the customers that have the electricity. And so in they have entered, now we received information that the Department of Commerce, which is not the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission, but another branch of their state government in Minnesota, has entered into a settlement with the parties who serve Minnesota customers on, and it's quite an involved settlement. And in their letter, Otter Tail had said, well, we'll be happy to meet with you and answer questions about this settlement if you wish. Then we received a letter this morning from the interveners, Mark Treshock and the Dakota Resource Council, saying that they would they're asking us for a motion for order under North Dakota Century Code 283225. And what they would like is, they said that MDU and Otter Tail filed a petition for this advanced determination of prudence. Trial testimony and post-trial briefs have been earlier filed with the commission. After the closing of testimony and the filing of all post-trial briefs on August 31st at 2:30, they submitted new exhibits A and B and assertions of facts in Attorney Guerrero's letter in support of applicants' request for a determination of prudence. They're arguing about some of the facts that were presented in this letter to the commission, and they're asking if they might have another hearing where they can ask questions about the information that was presented to the commission. So we need a chance to look at all of this and to make a determination of how we move ahead.
As I understand it, there are a number of things in that settlement that I'll want to be asking questions about. From what I understand, there are some issues with CO2 offsets that the Minnesota Department of Commerce has and the applicants agreed to. In addition, it would appear that the applicants have agreed to install mercury emissions control equipment on both Big Stone 1 and the proposed Big Stone 2. Now, this mercury control equipment apparently is to meet Minnesota state standards, which are far in excess of federal standards for mercury emissions. I'll want to be asking about how expensive these upgrades are. I don't know if they're not a big deal in the whole scheme of things when you're talking about a $1.4 billion plant, or if they're incredibly expensive. I really don't know. But we'll want to get answers to that, how that potentially could impact North Dakota ratepayers. There's also apparently an agreement to support what they call community-based wind programs in Minnesota. Of course, from a North Dakota perspective, we always have concern if the wind that's coming online is not the most economical wind, and I don't know if this is or not, but certainly we have documented the nation's best wind resource, and we don't know if these proposed wind sites in Minnesota are in fact the best or not, and whether those costs would be allocated to North Dakota ratepayers. So these are the kind of questions that I'll have as we delve into that.
Actually, they say Otter Tail has said in its letter that these costs will not be allocated to North Dakota ratepayers. They would be allocated to Minnesota ratepayers, but that is in the letter from Otter Tail.
When we talk about they, we're talking about both the mercury emissions controls and the community wind power programs.
That's what I understand.
Okay. Just so that I'm clear, the Dakota Resource Council letter, they want to discuss things that were in this recent settlement, and that was the impetus for the letter, the recent Minnesota settlement.
Well, and they want to have the right to cross-examine.
They want to be able to cross-examine, so that's what we'll have a work session.
And they were asking, in fact, to be able to cross-examine the head of GRE, which I wasn't.
He named the head of GRE, but called him the head of Otter Tail Power, so I think there's just confusion
just
about
so
who's who.
It was all brought about by this settlement. They have questions about
yes.
This.
Right. Yeah, right. They were responding to the Friday filing.
Okay. What is I'm looking at the consent agenda. What is a ministerial wording change?
We're going to add scripture? No.
I was going to ask.
Actually, what's being proposed is a changing of the per, purchase gas adjustment to a cost of gas adjustment. So it's a, you know, pretty major stuff. It's just pretty benign wording changes. But we're suspending it because we frankly haven't had time to, staff hasn't had time to really dig into it much.
If that's everything, now the commission will.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I have one other question. The hearing tomorrow, Wednesday.
Yes.
Is that still on?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
That's why we're holding our meeting today, because we have 2 days of hearings now this week on the pipeline.
I
know. Yeah, the motion last week was denied, the motion to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. And now the commission will take a 5-minute break to sign our orders, and then we will meet again for our admin portion at 20 minutes to 11. Thank you.